Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. I'm so happy to be here. Never prepared, but what else is new? But it's exciting. This morning, Quaid absolutely threw me under the bus, implying that I had never heard of or did not know who Dave Dravecki was. So then I asked him if he knew who Julie Ross was. And even though I knew who Dave Dravecki was, he didn't know who Julie Ross was. So I'm one up on him, and I'm very glad to have Julie Ross here today with me in the studio. Welcome, Julie.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. And now I do know him. We met out in
the
hallway.
Yes, you just met out front.
All good.
And
all
I believe this would probably be Jonathan Casey that has joined us.
The
that
famous
is me.
Jonathan Casey.
Jonathan, move over so I can see you. I want to stare at your vigid.
I'm right here.
Do you remember Johnny from the banquet last year?
Yeah, I do. He's very familiar to me. Okay. What we're talking about today on the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee, start every day with a delicious cup of Harvest Ridge Coffee, is, of course, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Spring Banquet. It is going to be Sunday, April 14th at John Wood. Oh, my goodness. 1987 St. Louis Cardinal World Series teammates Tommy Herr, Ken Daly, Danny Cox will be there. The keynote address given by former San Francisco Giant Dave Dravecki. We all remember that terrifying picture of him throwing that pitch and his arm breaking in the middle of the pitch, finding out he had cancer. That would definitely put a hitch in your get-along if you didn't have the good Lord helping you. So that's what this is all about. So, Julie, let's set the stage. Let's talk first, not about the banquet on April 14th, but about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I want you to talk about it, and I also want Jonathan to chime in whenever he feels like he has
or
two to say. I don't think he'll be shy about that.
Oh, he won't be at all.
Definitely not.
Well, Western Illinois FCA covers 11 counties, but here in our local area, we have really strong huddles going around the county, Brown County. We're moving into Schuyler County, Quincy High School here. Minden has gotten started, Liberty, Camp Point, like I said, Mount Sterling, Pittsfield meets twice a week sometimes. We have a campus huddle that involves QU students, but we also have kids coming from John Wood, and we have kids crossing the river sometimes from Culver and Hannibal LaGrange also. And they may have something going over there, but we are Western Illinois, so I can't really speak on behalf
right.
of Missouri. But Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we really exist to know the Lord and make the Lord known to coaches and athletes. We minister specifically to and through the coach, because when you have a coach, you have a whole team. Johnny's one of our co-leaders on the QU campus, and we meet Monday nights at 8 p.m. under the CAF, which means something to the kids. And
it doesn't mean that there's a large cow on campus you're huddled underneath there. No.
Would that be intimidating?
It's the basement level, I'm sure, of the cafeteria and student center.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about that, Jonathan Casey. First of all, tell me about your athletic involvement at QU, and then I want to hear about what the Fellowship of Christian Athletes means to you.
Well, my athletic involvement is I am a soccer player at QU. This is going into finishing up my third year. I'm also graduating this semester, so it's a very exciting time to be here. But my involvement with FCA it's definitely changed over the years, where at one point I didn't know what it was, to now it encompasses a lot of me, where now I'm being a part of leading it, and the community there is so huge, to where before FCA I did not have that kind of community. I didn't have those people to hang out with, to bounce ideas off of, to truly encourage me in the faith and bring me up that way. And now being a part of that, it's amazing to see the growth. And sometimes we call it's more than just FCA. It's not just Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but sometimes it's just Fellowship of Christian Anybody's. Like all are welcome. So,
You have friends that extend beyond the soccer team. You don't live in this insular world. You have a major. You have friends in your classes. You have friends in your social circle that, like you said,
exactly.
You have nothing to do with your soccer engagement. But I want to find out a little bit more about your younger background, because you go to a Catholic Christian university. So was that a choice, or did you just get a soccer? You know, some people, we always say, I know many people who are what they call Catholic, Franciscan Jews. Mm. They went to Quincy University because they were drafted there to play a sport. They're of the Jewish faith, but they like the Franciscan values so much they call themselves Franciscan Jews. So were you a member of the Catholic faith, or did you have any kind of faith background before you went to QU? How'd you get to QU?
So I did have a faith ground growing up. My mom played a huge part in that. We had a lot of family church just because her side of the family is so huge. In high school, I grew up in a Catholic high school, but that didn't really mean very much to me at the time. And then going to QU is when I really was first experiencing life on my own and had to really make that choice of, do I want to wholeheartedly follow after God or kind of put that to the side? And I think I made the correct choice.
Right. And so I think sometimes we have this, you know, misunderstanding that Catholicism is different than Christianity. Is not. You can be members of a Christian faith. You know, I mean, obviously you had a Christian upbringing, but even though you went to Catholic school, it wasn't a Catholic upbringing. It was a Protestant upbringing probably, right?
No, it was Catholic.
It was Catholic.
It was.
So you went all the way through Catholic high school and you're like, eh, whatever. It took you to go to QU to figure it out?
Yeah, kind of, in the sense, because in the high school that I went to, nothing against them. They did a great job at instilling their values in all of us. It was just more so the students I was around. A lot of them really didn't care at the time in high school.
So you were teenagers, is what you're trying to say.
Pretty much.
It wasn't a failure of the good Catholic upbringing or whatever. And I always say preacher's kids are the worst, you know. It's like,
and that's every denomination.
That's every denomination. It doesn't matter what you are. That's every denomination. So you knew about Jesus.
Most
you know,
definitely.
I mean, it was drummed into your head every day, but I think we all know there's a difference between knowing about Jesus intellectually or being able to say, oh, yeah, I can recite this Bible story, and then really understanding what the prodigal son means.
That's
you
right.
know, there's a big difference between, oh, I know all about Noah's Ark, and I can sing a little song about how the animals went on two by two, but really understanding the covenant promise of the rainbow takes a little bit more adult thinking. Sounds to me like you got to be an adult, and you did some adult thinking.
That's right.
So it's very interesting. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, there are some high schools that are pushing back a little bit, not really here locally, but there are some high schools that are like, wow, we have struggle with this because we don't want to be seen as promoting a religion or promoting something. And we're afraid if we let FCA give out a poster, we'll have to let the, you know, Satan Worshippers of America give out a poster or something. And everybody's kind of worried about stuff like that.
Well,
so has that been a pushback? Yeah, has that been a pushback, Julie Ross?
Not in our area at all, but nationally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of our FCA huddles just won a huge court case out in the San Francisco Bay Area where the school board had said, no, you can't meet. But the fact is, if you have an art club, if you have any kind of club, then you can have FCA also. And I will tell you, there's a little Satanist club up in the Quad Cities, which to me would be very concerning if that came to Quincy, but it certainly could happen.
Let me ask you this. Now, realistically speaking, don't you think those kids are just being obnoxious because they can?
No, it's not the kids. It's parents that started it. And they, you know, they say that they're having snacks and activities, but that's their premise. Now, if I was a parent in that area, I would say go for it, and I would form a prayer circle around that group. But, like, again,
Amen.
FCA is another group on
We're
campus.
We're sending
just
Jonathan
like
and his buddies up there.
FBLA
okay. So
or
you haven't,
FFA.
Yeah, you haven't, here locally, you haven't reached that pushback, and hopefully we will not. Okay.
Not at all.
So we're going to talk about the fundraising banquet and how people can get involved. You'd say St. Louis Cardinal 1987 World Series championships and our teammates, and you know, it immediately raises a thing there. But more about your witness and your testimony, Jonathan. I want to get to that a little bit more deeply.
Sure.
So you were raised, you know, in a Christian Catholic faith. You had all those advantages. You come to a school that's known for soccer. So, you know, you're probably excited to come to Quincy University. I mean,
huge.
Back in the day, you don't remember this, but I'm old enough to be your great-grandmother. Quincy, you know, nobody even knew what soccer was. You'd have to kind of explain to people what soccer was. And we were the national championships year after year after year. Now every little kid plays soccer. But even in Quincy, soccer was, you know, we started earlier than most places. But, you know, it's so funny that it's that all that Dominican Republic and Hispanic Catholic influence that got soccer into Quincy University, and you will see, if you go back and really do a history of how soccer through elementary school and junior high spread, it is predominantly in a Catholic Hispanic kind of way that it spread across the United States, because those were the immigrant people who that was their national sport and they wanted to play it, so they did. So it was their football, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So sports is the unifying factor in almost everything. How many people on the in the Quincy University chapter?
Chapter?
Our huddle.
Our huddle for QU. We've had as many as 32.
Okay.
And we're having new kids every week. It's fantastic.
Okay. So it's not something you have to. It's not something you have to come to all the time. It's just you drop in when you feel like it. It's how much you want to be involved in it.
Pretty
okay.
much.
Okay. Okay. So your personal witness. How did you get involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and then how did you transform from this? Whatever. I mean, there's a God, but I don't know. I'll think about that later. How did you get transformed into the leader for Christ that you are today?
Sure, I'd love to share that with you. So I would say coming out of high school and going through the whole COVID era, I'd extend on that a little bit. I went to church and always believed, and I practiced my faith more so at home. Definitely at home, a lot more Protestant than the Catholic values at school. But I would also just say it was like, without really truly knowing it, I don't think I was fully surrendered to everything. It was kind of like I wanted to do my own thing and kind of fit God in there somehow without really even knowing that I was doing that. So coming to Quincy and losing all sense of security for the first time, of having a huge family. My mom's one of 10 siblings, so you could imagine there's a lot of cousins. And getting to Quincy and losing that sense of security that I didn't know that I had, I was like, okay, like, how do I fit in here? Like, am I supposed to fit in with my teammates? Am I supposed to fit in with all the people at school? Like, you know, do I go out to the parties? Like, what do I do here? And I couldn't find my way and fit in. And I got to the point where I got fed up of trying to fit in, and I kind of was isolated. And it wasn't until there was this guy down the hall from me who no longer goes to school here, but God definitely placed him in my life for a reason, and that season for sure. His name was Bryce, and he's from Long Beach, California. And we somehow, I could not remember the first time, but I think we were going to the gym at the same time almost every day. I was like, wait a minute, you live down the hall from me. And we just start chatting, and at one point he invites me to come to an FCA event where they had like a bonfire and some games and some fellowship. I came, I met everybody. I was like, oh yeah, you know, one or two of you from class. And after that they had FCA Field Day, which was like the first time I met Julie. And that's a huge event for FCA right towards the end of the academic year. And as I start getting associated with everyone there, it was a really rough time in my life, having no community and some other circumstances that I was dealing with. Going through that, coming into the next fall semester, I was sold out. I was like, these are my people. I finally found them. I love being around them. Being able to, it got to the point where we would all just be up at someone's room in the dorms till like maybe 12, 1 in the morning almost every night, just chatting, enjoying good time together, having godly fellowship conversations. And going off of that, a lot of my friends were seniors, so then they graduated. I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss these people. But being able to go through that year and just grow together allowed me to be so encouraged and built up in my faith that coming to the next year, which I wasn't expecting it, but when I was proposed with the opportunity to lead FCA, I was like, I'm sold out for this. Like, let's do it. Like, I'm hungry. I'm ready. I want to be the Apostle Paul on campus and just go out to the nations and bring everybody into FCA and allow them to experience the Lord. So
you were looking for the others like you who are a little bit like, I'm not fitting in. You know, what mother and father would want to hear? What group have you affiliated with? Well, you could be with the Champion Chug Team, or you could be with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know? I think most moms would be very thrilled with the latter choice. We're talking today, you just heard from Jonathan Casey. He's a soccer player and soon-to-be graduate of Quincy University. And Julie Ross, who's one of the people in charge of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they're having their banquet Sunday, April 14th at John Wood Activity Center. The event begins at 4:30, And the Cardinals will be there. Tommy Herr, Ken Daly, and Danny Cox taking questions. And then the keynote address by Dave Dravecki. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we return from our break. We will let you definitely know how you can get tickets to this, and I imagine it will be another huge audience like I was in last year or 2 years ago. That,
we hope so.
Yeah, it's just going to be fantastic. So we'll take a break at 9:36. We'll head up to the IHRSA Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening there on the farm markets, and we'll be back. So stay tuned. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We set the stage here with Jonathan Casey's, testimony. And I didn't know, I assumed that, you know, he grew up like in St. Louis or something, because I'm, you know, stereotypically, that's where everybody that plays soccer from St. Louis comes to QU. But just real quickly, you're a little bit more exotic than that. Tell us where you were born and tell us where you came from.
So I was born in Saudi Arabia in 2001. I moved to Trinidad in 2011 on New Year's Day. So we were landing in Trinidad. The fireworks were blown up by the plane. That was pretty cool. And I was there ever since until I came to QU here.
And are you going to return to your native country? Or are you going to become an American citizen? Or what's on the agenda for you?
So fortunately for me, I am an American citizen. I just never lived here until college. And now that I am here, I do plan on staying here for a while before going back, but I will definitely visit. Trinidad will always be home.
Yeah,
for me.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, you can have the best of both worlds. Okay, Julie, let's talk about the fundraising banquet. It's kind of an interesting thing. There are a limited number of tickets, but you don't actually sell tickets. How do you do
that
this?
That is correct. We don't sell tickets. We like to have people be table hosts. And so what I'm saying to you, Mary, is I would love for you and seven of your closest friends to come and have dinner with me on Sunday, April 14th at 4:30 p.m., and we do ask people to sign up at westernilfca.org. You can go on to be a table host, and then you recruit the people that you want to sit with that night. And our banquet actually is free, but we do receive an offering to support the ministry of FCA. But we have sponsors. We have phenomenal sponsors that actually cover the cost. So we don't make you pay up front, but we do hope you'll participate.
Right. So last year. Yeah, the years run together. But I sat there and I, you know, said, oh, this was a great free meal. This was absolutely fantastic. But then I was so impressed by the, you know, speaking that I opened my wallet and threw money towards the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Praise the Lord. So when you come to the event, do bring your friends, get together a table of eight or whatever, get together your allies. But, you know, understand that this is a fundraiser and this is how they stay. And talk
That's
a little
correct.
Bit about how in the world do you get these top-notch athletes to come in? Let's just start with the Cardinals. They're not even the headliners. I mean, who would have ever thought you'd be in Quincy, Illinois and say, oh, yeah, and the downside of the ticket is the 1987 St. Louis Cardinal World Series team, Tommy Herr, Ken Daly, and Danny Cox. They're obviously affiliated somehow with FCA, probably. Maybe.
Well, they might be on our speaker list, but also my area director has a really good relationship with the Cardinals organization.
Good.
And so the Cardinals played the Giants in the NLCS
uh-huh.
that year, obviously beat them
to become the
World Series champions. But then, so we were looking for a group kind of that could banter, which will be interesting because these guys played against Dravecki.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talk about Tommy Herr. I have more people saying, is Tommy Herr really going to be there than any of the other three?
Okay.
Not to put them down. You know, he's not our headline speaker, but people are really
excited
about him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your down card on this is, almost, to many people, upside down. But let's talk about Dave Dravecki. We don't want to give away his speech. This morning you missed it, but Quaid was like all over me. Do you really know who Dave Dravecki is and all this? And I'm like,
The pitch heard round the world,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so talk a little bit, obviously, was he a practicing Christian? I mean, you know, like a lot of people, and I would put Jonathan in this, and me too, probably when I was a teenager. Yeah, I'm a Christian.
Hey.
I'm a Christian, but am I really all in on it. Maybe not. Was Dave Dravecki all in before the pitch heard around the world where he broke his arm literally during a game because of cancer?
He literally pitched it off is what I like to say. Like he pitched his arm off. And you know, I remember it was video. It was,
oh, yeah.
You know, on
you
all
could,
the news
you could watch it over and over again.
And I'm sure it's still out there on YouTube. I don't want to give that away.
Okay.
Whether or not he was a practicing Christian, but the journey the Lord has taken him from being star to amputation and cancer diagnosis and his journey back, he and his wife just have a phenomenal testimony, and we want people to come out and hear it.
And hear the
it
testimony.
It is absolutely worth your time.
I think if it was last year or the year before, it was about a wonderful coach who'd had all this success and then kind of fell down into, like, I'm coaching high school ball, you know. And it's how people take what path they, you know, and a lot of times the path we take is the path we chose. And then we say, uh-oh, this is not good. I need some help getting back on the right path. And we know who the right path is.
Amen.
Right.
For Christians, it's Jesus Christ, God. And, you know, sometimes it takes, we always say, you know, I don't think God tests us like that, like deliberately says, oh, I wonder what path, what obstacle, what boulder I can put in her path today. But everything that we have learned and everything we've trained for is making us ready for those decisions. And sometimes they're little bitty everyday decisions, and sometimes they're big life-changing decisions.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, definitely get together. Now, when to get the tickets, though, all you have to do is say yes. You don't have to pay any money up front. Again, I'm not trying to be crass, but, you know, they do want to raise money at this event. So please, you know, you're going to get a nice meal. You're going to have some great entertainment from these people. You're going to, it's really a lot of fun. So please invite people and tell them to bring their checkbooks, because at the end of the night, you'll definitely want. You also have a lot of raffle items and stuff like that, right?
We do. We have a silent auction.
Right.
And I believe we will have a raffle this year.
Okay.
Also. I don't know.
So there's lots of things on the silent auction that have a lot of cachet in the sporting world. So, okay.
Absolutely.
So how do we get tickets?
Okay. If you are tech savvy, you can go online to westernilfca.org, like Western Illinois Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So westernilfca.org. If you're not, call or text me, 217-440-7677, and I will take care of you. And you can register to be, you can come as a single, or if a couple of you want to come, even if you don't want a full table, that's okay. You just don't choose who you sit with.
Right.
I mean, but if you bring a whole table, you have your friends.
If you bring eight, you get to sit with your eight.
Absolutely.
If you bring two or four or six, they'll be, and you'll meet fantastic people.
You make new friends.
You'll meet absolutely fantastic people, because the caliber of people that are coming out for this. The one thing about this is there will be people who come that have no interest really whatsoever in hearing a Christian message. They're Christian, but they have no interest in hearing a Christian message. But there will be hearts that
sports
will be changed.
Story. Amen.
Right.
So you're luring them in.
It's not really a bait and switch, but whatever it takes.
It's lots of bait. And you already know what's on the hook. It's just, will you bite afterwards?
Oh, but that's the whole point.
That's
you know,
the whole
people,
point.
People might not come to hear a message about Jesus, but they will come to hear the sports stories. And they're going to leave fulfilled, too.
And you know what? That's what God did in Dave Dravecki. He said, I'm going to build you up to somebody so famous that even little old Mary Griffith knows who Dave Dravecki is. And I'm going to make you so famous that for the rest of your life, whatever happens to you, that name will cause people to want to hear what you say.
It's,
and that
it's an
is
incredible
fantastic message.
Message.
So, Jonathan, is that ever going to happen to you?
Well, we'll see what God has in store for me.
I hope it's not amputation of your arm, okay?
I hope not.
I mean, let's let it be something not quite that dramatic. But we all have a chance to rise, and you've had a chance to rise today and share your story. Okay.
Oh,
well, you're,
thank you
you're a fascinating human being.
Isn't he?
He
That's
is.
One of my kids, Mary.
I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia, and Trinidad to Quincy, and who knows where the next stop will be. It is the Spring Fundraising Banquet, Sunday, April 14th, John Wood Community College Student Center. Go to westernilfca.org, westernilfca.org, or call or text Julie, 440-7677. Tell her you're in and bring your checkbook. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are back, and Lynn Niewanner is here. And Lynn is Well, she's a lot of things, but she loves to travel. And I won't go into all the things she is. And she is fun to travel with because my husband and I, we'd only been married 6 weeks. And we set out on a trip with Lynn and Loretta, who has passed. Mm-hmm. God bless her soul.
Yep.
And Lynn and Loretta and Greg and Mary took Washington, D.C. by storm with about 120 of our closest friends.
Exactly.
And we had a ball. And that's my first, I think my very first senior citizen trip put on by the Senior Center. And Greg and I have been traveling senior citizen trips ever since. We love them. And there's one coming up to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. And it's leaving in early June. And we want everyone to know about this so that you can get a chance to be on this trip. Lynn is leading it, and she is so much fun. And so let's talk about this. We really need to get a few more people on. There is a minimum to fill the bus.
Exactly. And so we don't want. Lynn, we don't have enough people to go. And I said, excuse me?
Me? We'll figure out how to get more people to go. So that's what we're here today. We're shamelessly plugging this trip because I want to go. I've already got my money paid. I want to go. Lynn wants to go. Everybody wants to go. So
it's a great trip,
it's
Mary.
A great trip.
It is.
So tell us all about it. First of all, when does it leave? Give us all those details.
Sure. It leaves June 9th, which is a Sunday, and it comes back on the 17th, which is a Monday. So it's a pretty long trip, but almost everything is paid for. Lunch is not. And, you know, a lot of people don't even eat lunch.
No.
I eat two meals a day.
You take a banana with you from the hotel in the morning because you don't want to waste time.
So we do stop for lunch because there are people that have to because of various and sundry medical problems. But we do stop. But you don't have to eat. But otherwise, most of the meals are furnished, every breakfast at the hotel, of course. And you never know what you're going to get, but they've been doing better with better meals. And then every evening, most of those meals are paid for. There's one meal that's not. So you have to buy one out of your pocket. And I always try to pick someplace fun to eat, you know, someplace that people all enjoy and you can get a good meal. I've never had a bad meal.
And there's usually a little vote taken on the bus, you know, Red Lobster, what's the Chinese, Olive Garden, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And you know,
Someplace
we don't have in Quincy. And oftentimes, if you're lucky, and this has happened a few times when I've been on trips, you get a choice because there are several. There's an Olive Garden and a Red Lobster and a Charlie's.
Yep.
And guess what? The bus goes here and stops. Everybody get off for Olive Garden. Here, everybody get off for Red Lobster. Here for Charlie's. And then the driver parks, and then he comes back and picks you up at the appropriate time when you should have eaten as much shrimp as you can stuff in your gullet. So it's a lovely, lovely trip. The great thing about it is, and you and I are in the senior mode, you stop every 2 hours for a comfort break and just stretch your legs.
Uh-huh.
It goes at a pace that, yes, if you need a walker, if you need a wheelchair, bring it.
We take a walker and a wheelchair.
Take walkers, take wheelchairs. You may need that assistance. But it goes at a pace that is appropriate for older people, but younger people can enjoy the trip too because you can just go see twice as much, just walk twice as fast.
Exactly. Because some people get off the bus and just sit, and other people take off and you never know where they are and you pray to God they get back in time for the bus to leave, which sometimes they
enough time to talk about
God for cell phones, because now everybody has
now
them, and they can call me and say,
yeah,
I don't know where I am. And I'm like, well, hi, neither do I. Give me
So let's talk about it. We're going to go to the Route 66 Museum, right?
Heck if I know.
Oh.
That part I don't know. I just know what we do once we get to Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
Well, I think we're stopping on the way out and the way back. I don't know which is which, but we're stopping at the Oklahoma City Memorial.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yes?
Yep.
And I think we're going to the Route 66 Museum.
All right,
Museum.
And I've been to both, and they're both
I've
wonderful.
I've not been to Route 66, so Greg's super excited. Greg's never been to the Memorial.
Wonderful.
They're both wonderful, yeah.
Yep.
So what are we doing when we're in Santa Fe and Albuquerque?
Well, some of the things are just phenomenal that we do. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Acoma Pueblo Sky City. It is the oldest continuously inhabited settlement in North America, and it's way up top. The buses go up there, and you pray that the buses can get back down. But and we wander around, and there are people actually crafting all kinds of artifacts. And
they're traditional people.
Absolutely,
doing traditional things.
They are, and it's just a wonderful place to visit. We also go to the Santa Fe Basilica, And Mary, I could not get over it. We were told a story. I don't know if the story was true.